Osama bin Laden, a shadowy figure, was of great importance in stage managing or choreographing these very carefully planned attacks. Who was he? Bin Laden was not of humble origins, but rather was born into a prosperous family in Saudi Arabia. When his father died, he inherited millions from the family's construction empire. He studied in Saudi Arabia without finishing school. Some contemporaries have suggested that he wasn't particularly drawn to a fundamentalist version of religion. But then over time, he seemed to be attracted by radical activists in Central Asia, near Afghanistan, including a man who had become an important ideological ally, the Egyptian Ayman al-Zawahiri. In 1989, bin Laden became the leader of an important group. His, by all accounts, in some respects, charismatic personality helped in achieving this leadership role. He's a tall man, looming over others from his culture, as he stands 6 feet tall and 5 inches, 6'5", very quiet, soft-spoken, but a man who is said to have a particular talent as a stage manager or as an impresario of the framing of such attacks for propaganda and public relations effect. The group that he headed came to be called Al-Qaeda, which means the base. The base of operations with a worldwide network. It's significant to consider how this Al-Qaeda group thinks of itself in ideological terms. One word that is used to describe their self-understanding is a word we've seen before in the context of radical ideological movements, the word vanguard. They see themselves as being in the very forefront of a larger ideological wave, which they are showing the way for. We'll recall Lenin's ideas of the Bolsheviks as the vanguard of the workers showing the way. There are clearly resonances here. In 1996, bin Laden, as a impresario, made a public declaration of jihad against the West, a holy struggle. In 1997, he further added that his plans that he was in the process of organizing would be shown in the future by the media. And I think this wasn't simply an announcement of staying tuned, suggesting that people keep their eyes open for what he would be affecting. I think that the very notion of media attention to these acts is crucial to understanding how a small group aims by such actions to affect, it hopes, worldwide change. In February of 1998, bin Laden and his ally Zawahiri declared, in sonorous terms, a world Islamic front, arguing that they would have global reach. In many ways, this attempt to muster an international world organization is remarkably reminiscent of ideas we've seen before, of socialist and communist internationals, the organizations that would seek to further a global idea of change. They also issued a fatwa, or a religious ruling, against those they called crusaders, meaning the Westerners, or particularly Americans, and Zionists, meaning Israelis or Jews in general. They ordered the killing of Americans, whether civilian or military, as acts that would further their ideology. Here we see a fusion of terror and ideological visions, the proposal of a utopia to follow. Of the September 11th attacks, bin Laden, in one of the recordings that circulated afterwards as a furthering of this propaganda, is quoted as saying that these attacks are what we instigated for a while in self-defense. Every time they kill us, we kill them, so a balance of terror can be achieved. Those very terms, balance of terror, I think are significant. Terror is being endorsed as a tool of politics. Bin Laden followed up on this in a tape that was released in December of 2001, in which he deliberately spoke of the idea of blessed terror, the inspiring of fear, crippling anxiety, in order to tear down one's enemies and their society is a cornerstone notion of Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden.